The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
Open the door to big savings with a brand new look with Larson Doors. Now at Menards. Whether you're looking for traditional, modern, or a screen door, Larson Storm Doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. They come in over 40 styles of storm doors to choose from. Check out all Larson Storm Door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 7th, and yes, we're going to talk about baseball. T-Lex, 4 innings, 200 runs for its 1 walk and 7 strikeouts, and he might just be out of the rotation now, and it led with him. And you're like, Nick, why did you lead with him if he's just like, whatever, he's not going to really be in the rotation anymore? Because he might actually get more value now, because you have like Taj Bradley, who hasn't been a 6-inning consistent guy. He's been like pulled in the 4th inning constantly. And Tyler Alexander might be that piggyback guy. He's not so bad. 7 Ks here, 13 whiffs, 35% CSW. He's really like the Freddy Pirate again for the Rays. So think of him that way. You might find some sneaky value with Tyler Alexander moving forward. Zach Wheeler, ace is going to ace. It was beautiful. Alex Wood did well against the Rangers and he gets the gold star. And yes, I forgot about the gold star until now. There are lots of little things that I just forgot about with terms. And every year I go, oh, right, that's an awesome one. The gold star, of course, goes to the pitcher who we don't expect to do well on a given night and has the best outing. Alex Wood got the gold star. Props to him. Simeon Woods Richardson with 6 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. You could say that he earned it too. I mean, it's a little bit more believable with Richardson against the Mariners though. And he had a really good command of this. This was 4 seamers up and arm side, changeups underneath it, good sliders and curveballs middle and away. It kind of works, but this is the best command I've seen from him so far, so hopefully it does continue. I'd pass on the Jays, but at the same time, like, am I overrating the Jays' offense? It's possible. Bryce Wilson shoved 6 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, 6 Ks, out-dueling Cole Reagans, which is so annoying. Cole Reagans is getting, like, no run support, and I hate it. But anyway, It was really nice. Honestly, Wilson deserved a lot of the success. He avoided the heart of the plate. I mean, he went up and out of the zone with 4 seamers. He had cutters and curves down. It was really the best version I've seen of Bryce Wilson in a long time. And now he gets the Cardinals next. And yeah, if he does this again, maybe that actually works. Bryce Wilson, wow. Yu Darvish, his second start back. He had good low sliders, a good number of fastballs and whatnot. Around the zone, got the win against the Cubs, 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. And I'm looking forward to future starts of where he's able to be a little bit more efficient than this. It's 83 pitches for 5 innings. I hope that he can go and see the 6th, maybe even the 7th moving forward. But as long as he has this good slider with a 35% CSW, Yu Darvish should be good. On the other side of that was Justin Steele coming back for 4.2 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. Just 4 whiffs, and he actually had terrible command. Like, 4 seamers were down more than they should, sliders were up more than they should. Not your typical Justin Steele is getting back into the rhythm of it. I'm just happy he's here, and let's expect better moving forward as far as his skills go. I'm sad he couldn't get one more out to at least give him a chance for a win. Doesn't really matter in the end. But he's going to be fine, Justin, so I'm happy to have him back. Mitch Keller is a cherry bomb, and we know this. He went a complete game against the Angels. Pretty awesome to see that. One earned run, five hits, one walk, and five strikeouts. And keep in mind, the 23% CSW, you need to have a lower CSW to go nine innings. Why? Because it's inefficient. Getting a CSW outside of a two-strike count, it prolongates the at-bat. Those that are able to go nine innings, think of it this way. If you throw four pitches in at-bat, and everyone is an out, let's just say, that's 27 times four, which means you're over 100 pitches, okay? But if you make some of those one or two outs, two pitches per out, that means that's not going to be a CSW. It's going to be a ball in play. It's going to return an out. CSW is cool. Outs are better. CSW leads to the most demonstrative out, that is a strikeout, which is never not an out. That is a ball in play, has to turn it into an out. And that's why CSW correlates well with strikeout rate. But just keep that in mind when you see CSW. I remember some criticisms about, say, like Alcantara and Wheeler before their breakout seasons because of their low CSWs. And that is the balance that they play. They're not going to be 35% strikeout guys, but they are also going to be efficient and induce the right kind of contact and play for outs constantly. So keep that in mind with using CSW. At the same time, just seven whiffs and 109 pitches is like, well, okay. Mitch Keller is still a cherry bomb. A 6% swing strike rate is just not something that like is sustainable for Mitch Keller. Andrew Heaney against the Oakland Athletics came through for a streaming victory for both me and PLBot. Love to see it. Blake Snell blueprint is very much alive. This was against the Athletics. Six innings, one earned run, seven hits, zero walks, and five Ks, 15 whiffs, 30% CSW, 97 pitches. We love this. He gets Coors next, and honestly, that's okay because Coors isn't really that good. So I'm going to keep rolling with that. I'm also going to keep rolling with Tristan McKenzie somehow. You got the Tigers here. Five innings, one earned run, three hits, three walks, and six strikeouts. He just keeps doing it, and like you think, oh, cool, the secondaries are there. Nope. Sub 50% strike rate for McKenzie's slider and curveball. And these four seamers were just like all over the place. Tigers, come on, be better. But he gets a White Sox next. Tristan McKenzie reminds me of the marathon runners that are just still running. I don't know how. He should be so exhausted. You can see how laborious he is as he does it, but he just gets to the finish line. And I'm happy that he can. So hopefully he has the stamina and is able to do that moving forward. Jack Flaherty against the Guardians, six innings, two earned runs, six hits, one walk, and six strikeouts, 15 whiffs, 34% CSW. And really the thing here that you should be focusing on with Jack Flaherty is the four-seamer. Is that four-seamer going to be a productive pitch for him, or is it going to be his detriment? This was not his detriment because it was 94-95 with a 46% CSW, thus a good game. His slider and curve are always going to be there down. I mean, at the very least, the slider, the curve only had one whiff in this, but it was still an effective offering. That's really everything for Jack Flaherty if he does not allow hits on the four-seamer. And this was good. I love to see it. It's another great start for Flaherty, and we're rolling with him moving forward. You have Cole Reagan's 19 whiffs for a co-share of the Gallus Bowl. It was a golden goal for Wheeler with those 19 whiffs as well. And, of course, the highest CSW. This was really one pitch from being shutout baseball. Six innings, two earned runs, two hits, two walks, and eight strikeouts. Just a two-run shot from Gary Sanchez. It was a bad fastball, 95 down and in, and Sanchez loves that and just destroyed it. He didn't get it upstairs as he wanted to. So that's it. I mean, he's still great. And he's dope and makes us feel dope. Cal Gibson against the Mets, six innings, two earned runs, seven hits, two walks, and four Ks. It's a pretty much a very poor quality start with just one under on the earned run, so I guess you're okay with it. But yeah, Cal Gibson is just weird to me, and I know a lot of you have him for a two-step, and I hope it works out well. Luis Castillo gave you a careful Icarus. 6.2 innings of 300 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. His changeup is looking good. His four-seamer locations are good upstairs. He's looking great. But if you don't know a careful Icarus, that's essentially a guy who does well. And then in his final inning, when he goes an extra mile, that is, after going six innings, if you lose it after that, for the most part, sometimes it's five, but for the most part, yeah, you're in the seventh inning, he allowed two runs, and there you go. And it's annoying. You could have cashed out at six innings. Okay. LeSean Manaea, six innings of 300 runs, six hits, one walk, one strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? I mean, he really just kind of hurled everything over the plate, and it kind of worked because it's the Cardinals. I don't really have much faith in Manaea. It's very much matchup based with the Cardinals, so I guess this one worked out. Walker Buehler returned. And I have a lot to say about this, and we're going to talk about that after this break.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. It doesn't matter what job you're up against. Works, cordless power tools, and lawn equipment have the power for you to get the job done faster and easier. The PowerShare 20-volt batteries run longer on a single charge, and they can be used with other Works tools. Check out Menards' entire selection of Works, cordless power tools, and lawn equipment today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So I'm so excited to see Walker Buehler, right? Walker Buehler returning is a huge, huge momentous occasion. And, you know, we haven't seen him really since 2022. I even want to say 2021 because we barely saw him in 22 and he was just not himself. And then he got Tommy John and that's that. So we got 4 innings, 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks against the Marlins. And you're going, what? But you're the Marlins. And this wasn't a bad fastball. It was 95, 96, and it was like a 1.5 height adjusted VAA. What that means is that this works so well upstairs. He has above average IVB. It's over 16. He has above average extension. It's like 70th percentile. All of this should be like, yo, you've got the elite fastball again. He can't spot it. And this is actually the problem that I saw from Walker Buehler back in the day. Was Buehler just does not go upper third with four seamers. A lot of times it's middle, sometimes it's down, and he would rarely go upstairs for a whiff. But hot dang, he earned 2 out of 22 whiffs. One of them, I don't know if it's intent or not, the glove was down and away and the ball sailed up and it was a whiff right above the zone. It was beautiful. And all I think is like, what? Do that all the time. I don't know. It's a Dodgers thing, I think. I really do think that the Dodgers as a whole don't like going upstairs with fastballs. Buehler's, I think, is worse because it doesn't do that. And also just generally the overall command of it was bad. So what else does he have? And really, I mean, there's a decent slider in there and a curveball. I actually wish I saw more of a changeup from Buehler. I've seen that in the past work for him. But his number two pitch is a cutter. It's 90-91. And the times when he located this thing down and away to a right-hander, it was filthy. I mean, this looked so, so good. Especially if he has a four-seamer working, this thing is going to be great. Except, that's generally just not what he did. He pulled out the Cannibal McSanchez. If you don't know what that is, it's Animal Sanchez and Colin McHugh throwing high cutters that come back down into the zone. And guess what? He allowed a home run to Nick Gordon as he threw one upstairs that fell into, like, you know, middle up. And Gordon was out in front because he was thinking heater and then just flung the bat out because the cutter fell back down into the zone and bam, it was a home run to right field. Like, what? High cutters, actually talking to Jameson Taillon, especially one that Buehler has, which is also like Taillon's, which is more gyro, which is just straight down. Taillon was thinking like, why would I throw this high cutter when I can throw a high four seamer there instead to lefties specifically? And that's pretty much how Buehler did this. And I said to him, I was like, right, that makes no sense. Cutters are really good going into batters or diving off the plate, right? They sometimes can work as kind of like your freebie in the zone, like Musgrove has done that in the past, Darvish has done that in the past. I want Dylan Cease to do that. Senga has done this too. But as a Cannibal McSanchez, it's really rare for that to work. And generally that works only when you do not have an elite fastball. Cannibal Sanchez, Colin McHugh did not have one. Buehler does. So why throw the cutter up there that goes down, then the four-seamer that just excels there, I don't know. I don't. So, it's weird. I see the stuff of a champion, though. Like, Walker Buehler, to me, looks great as far as what he has available. And I think he's going to be much better moving forward. But there is a lot to talk about with the Dodgers' approach and mentality because I think there's so much that they could squeeze out of their guys that they just aren't. And I don't know. It's something that I think about a lot because the Dodgers have done well. But at the same time, like, they've done well at defensive positioning and low BABIPs in the field, right? Like, shifts and everything along those lines. Like, they are the best team at it for years. But the actual production strikeout-wise and everything has always been a little underwhelming. Something to think about. Okay, Mike Clevinger against the Rays. Don't play the treble Clev. Get it? It's lovely. Music jokes. Don't do Clevinger, please, just for your heart and soul. And of course, your fantasy team. Tyler Anderson against the Pirates. 6.1 innings of 4 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. But not very good. I mean, not at all. But, like, really, this was just a grand slam off of a bad curveball to a righty. And otherwise, like, he would have been fine for this one. That's it. He has the Royals next. That could be another quality start for Tyler Anderson. Mason Black debuted. Oh, man, Mason Black. I got to talk about Mason Black. He went against the Phillies, and it was 4.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. So it's a 92-mile-per-hour fastball that has some decent flat attack angle. Tries to go upstairs a little bit with it. He does that well. He has a good sweeper. That is really his main pitch. The problem is that lefties are going to have their day against him, I think. He does have a changeup that showed up here and there. He missed the spot with a changeup but froze Harper on it inside because it's just not supposed to be inside and just fell in properly. This is not that great. However, he does get the Reds in Oracle Park, and I'm okay taking the chance there. I feel like Mason Black is Logan Webb without the amazing changeup. Right? I mean, a little bit. Not quite right. It's similar arm action and everything. He throws more of the four-seamer than the sinker. There's something to like here that if he does add that proper changeup or something else to the mix, Mason Black can certainly work. And against the Reds in Oracle Park is pretty safe, so I feel like that's an okay start. Rodery Munoz against the Dodgers. Well, it was the Dodgers, so there you go. He gets the Tigers next week if he's in that rotation, which I don't think he will because there's Luzardo and Braxton Garrett and whatnot. So that's unfortunate, but if he does find his way to get the Tigers, Rodery Munoz is someone to consider. Looking forward to tomorrow's games. We don't have any updates today, save for Urania going instead of Jack Leiter. Of course, Jose Urania, you're in a boatload. If you start Jose, you're in a boatload of trouble. Okay. Tomorrow's starting pitchers, George Kirby, Aaron Nola, Chris Sale, Sonny Gray, Kyle Bradish, and Dylan Cease are clear auto starts. I also put Tanner Bibee in here against Detroit. I don't love it. Bibee's command's a little bit weird. I hate that he throws high four-seamers with a really steep four-seamer, but it's the Tigers, so fine. Probable starts here, Aaron Civale, Martin Perez, Reese Olson. Civale gets the White Sox. I know it's been really bad, but it's the White Sox. Martin Perez gets the Angels. He's the stream pick of the day because it's the Angels. Reese Olson goes against the Guardians. I like Reese Olson. Guardians are kind of good. Makes me a little uncomfortable, but I think I'd go for it. Gavin Stone against the Marlins. Great matchup. Does Stone have his changeup? I hope so. Chris Bassett's not been very good. Well, he's been good and bad. And I think overall, the skill set of Bassett is pretty consistent, so I'm going to roll with this one against the Phillies without Trey Turner. Jordan Hicks isn't Coors, but Coors isn't so scary. And Hicks, as long as he has a splitter or a sweeper, should work out. The sinker is still very good. I think this is just going to be fine. Brady Singer against the Brewers. I don't quite believe the sinker and slider still. I mean, that's pretty much what he's had for 4 years now. But it is a little bit more arm side sinker than usual. And he's getting good results. I don't know if those stick. But fine, if you have Brady Singer, you can Vargas Rulis, essentially. Jose Soriano against Pittsburgh. It seems relatively fine. It's the Pirates. Soriano's got a good sinker. It comes in hard. He has a good curveball. As long as he throws enough strikes, he's fine. Questionable start here. You have Jack Leiter against the Athletics. You have Jordan Montgomery and Carlos Rodon. That's at Cincinnati for Montgomery, so not fun there. And Carlos Rodon gets the Astros. Not fun there either. Mike Lorenzen gets the Oakland Athletics. I'd say there's a better win chance than Jack Leiter, but fewer strikeouts. So it's up to you which one you want more. Spencer Arrighetti against the Yankees. I do like what Arrighetti does. The Yankees, it's not really my favorite. I prefer Rodon on the other side. Chris Paddock against the Mariners and Joe Ross against the Royals. Quintana against the Cardinals. All three of those are decent quality start plays. Quintana, I know, just allowed 800 runs, but the Cardinals are still really bad, and Quintana didn't pitch that badly. Sears against the Rangers, complete cherry bomb. He's someone who is opponent agnostic at times. So if he has sweepers in the zone and four seamers upstairs, that is that's going to work well. Graham Ashcraft against the Diamondbacks. Maybe it works out with cutters and he doesn't get strikeouts, but like JP Sears and Ashcraft are both like, well, whatever. I got to get something. Do not start tier Mitchell Parker against the Orioles. No, thank you. Hayden Wesneski against the Padres. No, thanks. Even though he did well last time, it's still not quite there. Nick Pivetta against Atlanta. He is It's a still ill, and Atlanta, I know, is hitting worse than usual, but I just don't want to chance this. Chris Flexen against the Rays. No thanks, it's Flexen. He's not going to be at the beach, I don't think. I mean, I know he's done kind of well recently, but no way. Ryan Weathers against the Dodgers, Peter Lambert against the Giants, and Osvaldo Beto, not a chance against the Rangers. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for listening to this one. I got to go and record the Fireside Chat with Paul Spohr. Can't wait for that. Go check it out on the Pitchers Podcast Network. That is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.